This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from St. John's Books, North Portland's full-service independent bookstore, offering new and used books on progressive politics, literature, poetry, titles for kids, and more. St. John's Books is located at 8622 North Lombard in St. John's. Information at 503-283-0032 or via email at info@stjohnsbooks.com.
This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dume Roberts. On today's show, we visit with conceptual artist Damali Ayo, and we'll talk about her latest exhibit at the Mark Woolley Gallery in downtown Portland, and it's called Yarn, and it's at Mark Woolley Gallery. Get it? And then in the latter part of the show, John Kretzu joins us for a chat about Theater District, his new play at Artist Repertory Theater. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio is Damali Ayo. Good morning and welcome back.
Oh, good morning, Dime.
Sorry about that pun about the woolly yarn thing.
I never thought of it that way.
I just thought, that's interesting. I love serendipity. So you are spinning some yarns at the Mark Woolley Gallery. And this is very complex work that you've got here, because I took a look on your website.
Oh, great.
And you've got a lot of the video stuff on there, the animation and the artwork that you have put on there. And it's very complex. I mean, you've explored the complexities of race and identity with your work, something I admire. And I think it's something that most of the country would kind of like to not, explore, and that's just my humble opinion. So you're doing it with yarn, and it is a metaphor. So tell us about how you got the idea for this show.
Well, the idea came from so many different sources, kind of like the way a strand of yarn is formed, with smaller threads all woven together. And so it draws on the idea that both the idea of narrative and so the idea of spinning a story, right? So like my dad said to me once, like, yeah, well, your Aunt Naomi and your grandmother can sure spin some yarn. You're like,
exactly.
It's an old Southern saying,
yeah.
Right? And that, and then also just the idea that it is this kind of interwoven fabric. So it looks at narrative American identity. So it looks at a range of different races this time, which is something I think is different for me.
Well, yeah, it is a range. I mean, there's a lot of narrative tales, and it also is weaving the threads of these concepts that you're bringing out and your ideas in the show. Mm-hmm. What are the different ethnicities that you're covering?
Well, the work, first of all, is in animation. And there's four animated shorts, and then there's stills that are isolated from those shorts. And so the four shorts are titled after four different songs. So it starts with Gollywog's Cakewalk.
Let's before we go on, what is a gollywog?
Right, so a gollywog is a black stereotype character from the 1800s that continues to be made today.
I thought that was weird, because when you first told me what a gollywog was, you know, you can go on eBay and buy a doll.
Oh, it's you can buy hundreds of them. I mean, like 10 years ago, you could go to the convention. You know, there was a big gollywog collectors convention. So they're still being made brand new. They're real black-faced and puffy lips. And so I took some of those and woven them into this little story, this little epic of theirs. And then the next one moves on to the song Dueling Banjos, where I kind of look at white male class issues. So there's this kind of stereotypical redneck character that you follow through his little epic. And then the third is Ten Little Indians, sung by the Beach Boys, which really gets in your head, let me tell you.
Well, yeah, I mean, that one especially, I did see and I thought, wow, you know, what a satiric way of exploring genocide, you know, because they sort of blow up.
They blow up. Yeah, they're blown up by white explosions. And in each story, the main character has kind of a nemesis that's a white object of some kind. And then the last one is David Bowie's China Girl. And there's a little She's actually a little Japanese stereotyped doll that is actually a cell phone cover, but I've removed the casing from around her, so she's just this little doll. Again, something you can buy easily on the web.
And isn't the Indian stereotype, isn't that like an icon from the Cleveland Indians or something
similar?
Oh,
yeah, in the Native American one, there's a Cleveland Indian there. He's singing away.
Boy, and they still use that, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's just amazing. It's amazing in this day and age, you know, the 21st century. You know, we should be Star Trek, and we're not, you know.
We're nowhere close.
Nowhere near it. So you've got the different ethnicities, and you have the animation, you have the stills. Did you draw the stills yourself? Did you make that, or is that, you know, all computer generated that you put together?
All the stills came directly from the animation, so they're like snapshots right from the animation. And then those were all done in either PowerPoint or Flash with images that I took from the internet. Like I would do a search, and then the first things that I saw, so basically trying to get the first stereotypes, were used as the characters.
So you did do all of that yourself?
Yeah, I actually learned Flash. So the animations are very, the PowerPoint one is actually probably the most detailed, because I was really learning the very small nuances of animation by doing it frame by frame. And then in Flash works a little differently. So, you know, you're not going to go to the show and be blown away by the miracles of
technology
or huge advances in animation, because that's not what I was interested in. I was interested in just using, substituting, you know, the artist's body, these characters for the artist body, so that I wasn't so much the focus of my work as I'd been in days before. And I also didn't want people to walk in and say, wow, how'd she do that? I wanted them to be engaged in the content.
Right, and especially the imagery that you're bringing forth. If you just joined us, this is Stage and Studio. I'm DeMay Roberts with my guest, Damali Ayo. We're talking about her new show at the Mark Woolley Gallery. It's called Yarn. And if you want to actually look at the website before going to the Mark Woolley Gallery, go to DamaliIyo.com, and you can see some of her work there, not the entirety, because obviously we want to go to the exhibit, but DamaliIyo.com, and you'll see something very intriguing, I can assure you that. What has been some of the comments that you get? Now, you know, I know your work. I've worked with you.
Mm-hmm.
And people tend to, you know, get angry on both sides of the rainbow, you know, all over the place. You know, what has been the comment?
Yeah, we can't make anybody happy, can we?
Hey, that's not your job, is it?
You know, this work is a lot more complex than people usually get from me, and so I think people are a little confused, you know, and that's kind of fun, because I've actually left the door wide open for people to have their own interpretations of what the work means, because I discovered that audiences can be pretty lazy. And, you know, so I wanted people to have to do their own interpretations without my handing it to them. So so I think what happens right away is people say, look at that cute little girl dancing around. And then they go, what is that? You know, they kind of get a little grossed out, and they wonder what's happening to her, and why is she being chased by these barrels, or why is she dissolving into puddles of whiteness? And so it really engages, hopefully it engages them with their own response to stereotyped images and also the narratives. And the other thing that's going on in the show is there are two sets of stills that I did create just as stills that don't have the animation. And so hopefully that raises the questions about, well, what's those character stories? What is the story for Latino Americans or Arab or Indian Americans? What would I create as an audience member for them that might be similar or different from what I've just seen?
I mean, in your artist statement, you do ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And that's mostly what you're trying to bring out, are those questions.
What
are some of those questions?
Well, like, how do these competing ideas of American narrative, like, work together or work against each other? So if we have in this country the problem of people saying, you know, the story of America is my story, or the story of America is not your story, well, what happens when all of these are true? And so you'll see the similarities between the animations. They all the characters use the same watering can at some point, because I wanted to draw on the fact that every race in this country has literally tilled the same soil and done that with a sense of pride and a sense of building their own future. So how are our narratives actually more related to each other than disparate was something I was really interested in.
Well, the imagery is hard-hitting satire.
Mm.
It's all satire. Have you gotten any kind of heated discussions with people who were there? So you just had your preview and
right.
Your opening, so of course there were people there while you were there.
One guy said that he just thought my use of stereotypes made it way too easy for the audience to check out. So he didn't really understand the satire piece, or the bit that just says, this is how we actually see each other. He thinks that, you know, somebody might see a stereotype black character and just go, well, I don't think that way, so I'm not racist, so I'm just going to not engage with this. To me, that hasn't really been the experience I've seen. Most people really seem to think they're super cute, and then they get sucked into the story.
They are kind of super cute.
They are.
Then you realize that you think they're cute, and you go, yuck.
Yeah, hopefully. you know, I think we're kind of trained to say, ooh, that's wrong. But then somewhere inside of us, we do still think, oh, but she's dancing, and
yeah,
it's cute.
Yeah.
So
What's the harm?
Yeah, right. And so... So I think that's part of the response people have been getting. One of the things I find really interesting is people don't realize that they're stills from the animation, and so they're kind of seeing the show in reverse, and so they have to get to the animation to really understand the whole show. And the other thing that's really kind of funny is I guess people aren't used to this type of work from me, and I have a little corner in the gallery that has work from the Panhandling for Reparations piece. So the Living Flag video is there, and so there's pictures of me and video of me. And so people think that's the only part of my work in the show, and I have to keep reminding people, no, it's the whole room.
Oh, so they don't think the rest of the room is your show.
Yeah, at times. So that's, and even though my name is on the wall right with the work inside the gallery, which usually isn't really even done. So it's been an interesting experience in that way. I think it's just unexpected for me.
Yeah. And now let's talk about the Living Flag corner.
Yeah.
Because you did, and that's the piece that we collaborated on, is that you did go all over the country and did panhandle on the street for reparations and engaged in a lot of dialogue with people about the concept of reparations, and then it sort of, you know, branched off into race in general. Are you still doing that piece at all? Are you still, I mean, that was just too damn brave, keep going.
It was hard. I haven't done it in a while. In my head and in my heart, it's still ongoing for me, but it hasn't something I have been, I haven't manifested in a while. What I have manifested is finally, and the reason I'm able to show this year is I finally edited down the video from the work that we collected in the panhandling in New York and Portland. So that finally got finished, and I wanted to show it right away. So that's actually on view there, and that's almost brand new in a way, because
like
it's never been seen. Yeah.
So that's essentially the only place you can see it.
No, it's actually it's also on the website, and it's on YouTube, which is a great, fun website to watch all kinds of wacky video. I'm starting to just feel, because my work is not a big seller in the galleries, and although anybody who wants to go buy it, I encourage that, but I feel like I'd rather reach a wide range of people, and so I've been putting most of my work anytime I can up on the web.
That's awesome. I mean, I love web art, you know, and that it just makes it accessible to everybody.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I mean, who is art supposed to reach, you know? To me, it needs to reach everyone, and I find more and more that the art world tends to just serve itself, and that to me is something that doesn't fit with my nature as an artist.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't see that either. But you also have branched out to other areas. You've written a book.
Yeah.
How to Rent a Negro.
Yeah.
So easy reading, right?
Yeah.
Something simple.
Kick back and relax.
Tell us about
depends
you know,
who you
that.
Are, I
because
guess.
Because you had, that's how I first found, I guess, found out about you or found you, is that you had the website howtorentanegro.com, and you probably still have it.
Yeah.
And then I said, this lady is like, you know, renting herself out to social functions to be the token, you know, black person.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a concept, because, you know, that's what happens a lot, you know, especially in the Northwest, you know.
Yeah, it's true. That was fun. The website's still up, rentanegro.com, and then the book was kind of a larger extended how-to version of, you know, is this you? Are you a renter? Or is this you? Are you a rental? And that's been fun. Then last year I went on book tour with that, so, you know, went around the country and Canada talking about the book. And that's what I think, you know, ideally I could have been panhandling at the same time, but whew, that would have really wiped me out. But I did get to meet a lot of interesting people and talk about race, and I took these fun photos, which you can also see somewhere on the web, of me and people from the audience in front of posters that say "For Rent" or say "My New Black Friend." So those are fun too.
Well, you can go to your website at damaliayo.com. That's damaliayo. .com. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, there's a link for the book, which is on Amazon.
Yep.
You're out there everywhere.
I'm trying my darndest.
So I just wonder, I mean, you know, we have, you know, as you get, I don't want to say older, but as you're, you know, kind of progressing here, how much of this kind of work do you think you have energy for? I'm just coming off a big project, so I just always wonder about energy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, can you sustain it? And, I mean, this takes an awful lot out of you.
Yeah. And it's okay. I am getting older.
Well, we all are.
I'm realizing this.
We all are. It's not going to
I know. It doesn't stop. I think what I'm trying to do right now is figure out what's the best use of my energy. And to me, I get energy back when I know that I've reached people.
Yeah.
My newest project is I did a MySpace page, which is a whole other weird world.
And MySpace.com.
Yeah, mm-hmm. MySpace.com, which is this thing that's in the news now because of internet predators, but it's actually this great place to connect with people. And people who have been enjoying my work out there can now write me and find me and connect with me. So that's really neat. So I'm just interested in one, just like keeping right on top of daily trends and being with the way our world is going so that I can participate in a very now sense. And so I think, you know, there's an evaluation that's happening for me about how much do I want to be wide open or focus on small, like more insular projects. So I think that's where it's just a use of energy that's a question for me.
Yeah.
You know, again, the more people see it, the more energy I have.
Right, right. I mean, it infuses you. It gives you the reason to keep doing your work.
Yeah.
And do you think your topics will change?
Right now, taking the shift from what I've done before to yarn is a big, important shift for me that I've been wanting to do for years, because my true passion is connecting the stories of all the people in this country and saying, hey, we have all these different kinds of oppression and they all go together. And the more we work together, particularly the more people of color work together, and I'm just starting to interweave in that the story of, you know, white working class people, the stronger we are. So that to me is, the kind of new area I want to get into. And then also, if you go to my website, you'll see that I'm also like kind of obsessed with recycling and like eco practices and making this world eco-friendly, traveling all over the country last year. Like nobody cares like they care in Portland.
Yeah.
And wanting to spread that energy. So I have something called Five Things, where I have like five things you can do to make your life more eco-friendly, five things you can do to make your life more handicap accessible. And I also have a list of organizations that I support through my sales and that I hope people will support. So cultivating a global vision is really what I want to do.
Well, I commend you on your art with a mission.
Woo!
You know? I mean, that's hard. It's hard to keep that up, and you're doing great work, and I just expect more and more from you.
Thanks,
you know?
Sweetie. Back at you.
Especially after your master's degree.
Oh, God.
You're really out there. So, Damali Ayo, always a pleasure to have you here on Stage and Studio. Check out Yarn, a new work by Damali Ayo, animated shorts and stills through July 1st at Mark Woolley Gallery in Portland. And for more info, check out DamaliAyo.com. That's DamaliAyo.com. And next up, we have director John Kretzu with Theater District at Artist Repertory Theater. Bye, Damali.
Thanks for having me, D-May.
This is Stage and Studio. I'm D-May Roberts. With me, waiting in the wings, is John Kretzu. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Artistic Director of Artist Repertory Theater and just a generally good guy. You've got a new show that opened. It's called Theater District, and it's a comedy drama by Richard Kramer. Now, Kramer has been a writer on many, many top hit TV shows, including 30-something. I was going to say theater-something. 30-something. My So-Called Life, Queer as Folk, Tales of the City, and Judging Amy. But he's also an acclaimed playwright. So give us a brief capsule of Theater District.
Theater District is Richard's first play. The it is an amazing piece. It premiered at Steppenwolf in Chicago. I saw that production. It also was done in Los Angeles, where it won a bunch of awards. I saw that production also. And then it's also been done in Boston, San Francisco, and now Portland, doing the Northwest premiere, which we're really excited about. It is a beautiful play. It's very similar to if you liked 30-something, and if you liked Once and Again and My So-Called Life, you really could call this Theater Something if you wanted to. That was very good, actually. I could have used that earlier. It's a play about a family, a modern American family, which means that it's not your traditional family. There's a gay couple, one of whom is a very high-powered New York lawyer, and the other runs a restaurant in the theater district in New York. And they are currently raising the teenage son of the lawyer who was married before. There's also that woman, his ex-wife and the mother of the son, and her second husband. And they all exist on this very, cordial, fun New York type of faux liberal, radical chic kind of lifestyle. They're just all, charming and funny and witty and delightful, and they love each other.
But it's also, it seems like Theater District seems to be about redefining that family relationship or
well,
those
exactly.
relationships and because unearthing all these secrets, too.
Sure, because no matter how much you say that that's the way it is, there is going to be tensions, there is going to be things underneath simmering, and those things come out. And maybe people aren't quite as comfortable with the situation as you thought they were. So that's part of the revelation of the play. But, I really hate to talk much about Theater District. The audience has such an incredible experience with it because they come in not really knowing much about the play. They really haven't heard much about it. It's pretty much a new play. It's so charming and funny and witty and delightful in the first, half hour or so, and then little by little, it reveals itself, and the audience just ends up, it's just wonderful. They end up so silent and so devastated and quite teary. So it's such a roller coaster of emotion, and I hate to say too much about it.
Well, it sounds like it does run a broad range, and it does give you an emotional response, which is what we want to do with art,
Oh, always.
Now, you've got some great actors. Let's talk about them, starting with Michael Mendelsohn.
Yes, Michael Mendelsohn, which is, this must be our, 5,000th show together. We're kind of joined at the hip, and I just love Michael. He's such a fabulous actor, and he's matured over the years. He's just so grown into his own. And this is a quintessential Michael Mendelsohn performance. So any people who enjoy his work, this is
he's a wonderful actor.
Catch. Yeah, it's a lovely performance. But then there's so many other wonderful people. There's Susanna Mars,
another wonderful
delightful
performer.
And Ted Schultz, who's wonderful.
Yeah.
Patrick Disney, an actor I haven't worked with before, who's just super. A wonderful actor I brought from New York, I directed his class at ACT. His name's Jay Randall. Just great. He plays a dual role. And then we have two young actors who are pretty phenomenal. Eben Hoffer just graduated from Lincoln High, and he's just great in the show. And Morgan Lee, who is this just super young actor who just moved here from Nebraska.
Well, I like how you mix the veterans with the starter uppers, and getting experience and learning from the masters as well.
I think that's
a great mix.
That's so important, and I love to mix my cast with people. I always mix between people I've worked with a lot, and then people that are brand new that I haven't worked with.
Keep
so
it fresh.
Stimulating.
Yeah, keep it fresh. Artist cool. Repertory Theater presents Theater District by Richard Kramer, directed by John Kretzu.
Little me. I have to say, this is sort of the John Kretzu Theater Festival right now over there.
Because you're running really Assassins still? Or?
Assassins is still running.
It is?
And
I really want
to make mention of that because I think a lot of people don't realize that it was extended.
No, I didn't realize that. So tell us how long.
Yeah, it's extended through this Sunday, and there are still tickets available for this week. The show was sold out forever during the regular run, but because we've added the extension, there are now tickets available, and I got to say, I will speak I will say other people's words. I won't just say it myself. The Assassins is sort of an event this year. And if you haven't seen it, or if you want to see it again, this would be the week to catch it. It's tonight through Sunday. It closes Sunday night.
Sunday night. All right. And also, Theater District runs May, well, it started already, through July 2nd, Tuesdays through Thursdays at 7 o'clock, Fridays and Saturdays at 8, and Sundays at 2 and 7. And the tickets are $15 to $40 and are available at ART's box office at 503-231-1278. That's 231-1278. Or online at artistrep.org. And all performances are downtown Portland at 1516 Southwest Alder Street. And also you can check out Assassins while you're there. So in our final moments here, with summer coming, are you taking a break at all?
You know, I did three shows in a row this year, Seagull, Assassins, and Theater District, and they were all just so incredible, but they were all really personal journeys, I need a little time to recharge, and so I am looking forward to it. I'm going to be reading a lot. I'm doing a lot of traveling. In fact, going to New York on Saturday, and then later in the summer, I'm going down to Ashland, the Utah Shakespeare Festival, and also the Stratford Festival and the Shaw Festival out in Ontario. So
that's wonderful.
It's going to be a real recharge time, and I just found a fabulous new apartment. So I am so excited about the summer.
You're the most
really
positive
cool.
person I know. You really are. That's so great. Well, do see Theater District and Assassins, and you can get information at 503-231-1278 at the ART's box office or artistrep.org. And we do have a pair of tickets to give away to the third caller for Theater District at 503-231-8032. That's the third caller. John Kretzu, thanks so much for chatting with us via phone today.
Oh, well, I just love talking to you, and I can't wait to talk to you next season.
You will, and we'll talk about that. So take care and have a great summer.
I'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Before we go today, an announcement. Silence, a play by Moira Buffini and directed by Julie Akers, is set amid the chaos of Viking raids and the end of the millennium. It's panic, it's silence. The young Lord of Cumbria is forced to marry a feisty French princess at the behest of the English king. On their wedding night, both are horrified to discover things are not what they seem to be. And the play is full of humor and sexual politics and got a rave review, actually, from the Oregonian. And Silence resonates disturbingly in our own age of holy war. It's the winner of the Susan Smith Blackburn Award, a very coveted award for women writers. And Silence was originally commissioned by the Royal National Theatre Studio. According to the Village Voice, Silence pitches a medieval traveling circus tent spilling over with farcical byplay and sexual hijinks. The comedy casts a darkness so unsettling you shiver even when you are laughing. Silence runs through June 24th, Thursday through Saturdays at 8 o'clock. Tickets are $15 to $18. There's a pay what you will on Thursdays, May 25th. June 8th. Oh, actually, May's over with. Hello! June 8th and 15th. And all shows are at the Backdoor Theater at 4319 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. That's directly behind the Common Grounds Coffee House. For reservations for Silence, call 503-784-7316. That's 503-784-7316. It's got a rave review. It's a great play. I highly recommend it. It's Silence. Yeah, just like that. So that's it for Stage and Studio. I'm D. May Roberts. And next week we feature Indian classical dancer Shivivanka and her new show. It's called Rhythmic Delights. Till then, I am D. May.